Looking to start a business or take your hobby to the next level? Synergy Shop of Maniums is the answer. Need a toy box for your classic rods? Business location that needs parking and easy access for van or truck traffic? Got a service like taxidermy or sporting goods that need a storefront, counter, and storage in the back? Synergy Shop of Maniums are customizable spaces designed for trades, small businesses, and your hobby dreams. High ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. Located near everything. Reserve yours at Sheridan Realty Associates.
This is Tim Kerr, General Manager at Frackleton's. Downtown is about to taste like autumn. Our new fall menu is coming soon, crafted with the rich, hearty flavors of the season. And while you wait, you don't have to. Our new cocktail menu is already here, with fresh creations and bold twists waiting to be poured. Come in, unwind, and taste what Wyoming autumn feels like. Only at Frackleton's, where every season tastes like a celebration. Frackleton's, Main Street, Downtown Sheridan.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Sheridan County, this moment is brought to you by you. Thanks to the generosity of our community donors, the SCLT Big Goose Natural Area at Bridges is now open for families, for anglers, for hikers, for everyone who loves the land. Experience it today at 14 Lane Lane. Plan your visit at SheridanCLT.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, August 28th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by the Sheriff of Sheridan County, Levi Dominguez, and Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Good morning.
It's nice and gray outside. I do enjoy these days. A little cooler.
Yeah, I like the cooler weather.
So do I. You know, I kind of felt like this morning when I was pulling out of the driveway, it was a little bit darker. The days are getting shorter.
Yep.
Pretty soon, you and I are going to be going to work in the dark, my friend.
Yeah, no, it's that's always, you know that summer's coming to an end when you're, you know, it's getting dark sooner and you're trying to get all the yard work done before it gets dark. Yeah. Is getting more tough and you know, the kids are back in school and so, but you know, it's a change of season and we need that. So,
oh, especially the firefighters down there, you know, putting everything on the line, getting out there. They need some weather like this. So it's good to see it show up. Now, you talked about the schools, and with all three school districts and the private schools back in session, what would you say your top safety concern is as kids walking, biking, driving to school, Sheriff?
Yeah, it's the kids' safety, regardless of what it is. Like you mentioned it all, those are safety key concerns for law enforcement, should be for the school districts as well, as keeping those kids safe to and from school, but also keeping them safe, you know, while in school. And I don't want to bring it up to but, you know, mm-hmm. with the events that took place yesterday. Horrible. In Minneapolis, you know, I think we're fortunate that we are able to have, you know, two very great school resource officers within the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office that in the Tongue River Valley and then one in Bighorn. And it allows our patrol deputies to get out into other county schools and things like that to be there. But, you know, those kids, those are our future. And so we have to keep them safe and keep the family safe and just remind folks that school's back in session, you know, keep your head on a swivel. And those things.
You know, Sheriff, I had the captain in here, Captain Tom Ringley from the SPD, just last week, not that long ago. We were speaking about the collaboration between all the law enforcement in the county that come together and run those drills just to make sure we're all on the same page. Everybody knows the procedure. Everybody's on board.
And it's a great collaboration, I think, between the sheriff's office and the police department kind of spearheading that. You know, Doug can speak more to it. He's one of our instructors for that, for the active shooter training. You know, I think when this came to light, it was very important that we we were all being trained the same way that our deputies and our officers were trained the same way, because we know with our staffing levels that if something happens in the city of Sharon at one of those schools or in the county, you know, the very first responding law enforcement agencies are primarily going to be the sheriff's office and the police department. And then, you know, you have highway patrol and some other outlying, law enforcement agencies. And so that way we were all on the same page. We were training together and been doing that, because that's super important to have that. And, we were able to send two instructors down to a course along with the police department, sent two instructors down. And I'll let Doug speak to that, because it's much needed, and we have to prepare and be ready.
Absolutely.
It's not if, it's when.
Undersheriff, good morning.
Morning.
Now, when I won't ask specifics. That's one thing I don't want anybody knowing. But when it comes to who is setting this standard, who's training our trainers, what organization is behind this?
As far as the RAE training, we just go through one main training, but collectively we reach out and we have numerous conversations and discussions with Sharon PT specifically. And we just kind of go in tandem with them on what's the best interest for the county.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, is there like a federal agency that's trying to set any kind of standard at all? Or is this kind of, we come together and do this as a unit ourselves?
You know, there's different trains of thought on how to approach an active shooter situation or, you know, when you're looking at those types of things. And so I think when the police department, the sheriff's office got together and said, all right, we need to start training together and being on the same page, there was research done on what, there's trainings all around, you know, the region and the U.S. Okay. And it's all, I mean, stop the threat. I mean, at the end of the day, it's get in there, stop the threat. We're not waiting, those types of things. But there's different, you know, ideologies on movement and, you know, moving and clearing and things like that. And so you get, you know, Lieutenant Sanders and the command staff from the police department got together and saw a training program that was being put on down in the Salt Lake City area. And that was, you know, where we ultimately decided to send our staff to be trained and then come back and train our staff.
You know, when you get everybody together for these drills, are the drills themselves and the training sessions planned out, coordinated pretty wide? And is that one of those all hands on deck trainings, LT?
It somewhat depends on the training we're like specifically focusing on. We've had some where it is all hands on deck and we collaborate with other agencies to do a big event. And then on other occasions for our training, it's specific to just the guys and stopping the threat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Instead of pulling in EMTs or anybody else who would be there to respond.
Correct. And we've had trainings with that where the focus is on the EMS portion, right? And then we've had trainings where the focus is on our patrol staff specifically and maneuvering through an active shooter scenario.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fantastic that you guys come together as a unit, instead of, I mean, absolutely no rivalries. We all put it down, you know, friendly rivalries, you know, competition type, but we all put that down for the kids. We all come together to get that done. Can you talk about how law enforcement coordinates around school traffic? That's another issue, you know, another issue that people tend to forget about for about 3 to 4 months of the year. But then all of a sudden, it's back. I forgot. It's taken me an extra 15 minutes to get to work. How does law enforcement coordinate around that?
As far as what we do, as far as we have a proactive approach to it. So when school hits with all the patrol staff, we very much, the expectation is we're out and about during the school time. So you're going to see us in school zones. You're going to see us out on the highways. You'll see us behind school buses. The recommendation I can give to family is no different than my own. You know, there's a lot of traffic on the road. I'm sure everyone's seen it the past week or two. Leave even earlier. If you think you're going to potentially be late, you know, give yourself an extra 5-10 minutes of time and don't rush.
Yeah. And you know, I don't come in contact on my route in the morning with any school type of activities, no school buses or anything. I live right on the edge of Buffalo. I'm zip boop, I'm on the freeway and I'm over here. But I've started leaving earlier because I was like, you know what? I'm going to see how difficult this is to kind of change up your schedule a little bit.
Yeah, your route that you take to work in the morning, when during the summer when school's not in session, may be different than when school's in session, because you know, heading down Main Street, right, you know, the side streets, Thurmond, Gould, Brooks, all of those streets, they're just congested. And so again, take extra time, slow down. Nothing's more important than just making sure you get there safe. Like we always tell our staff when we're responding to an emergency, if you don't, you know, if you're not getting there safely and you don't get there because of something, then you're no good to anybody mm-hmm. else, right? Likewise, it's if you happen to be a few minutes late to work, you know, that's better than not getting to work that day because you were involved in an accident or something else like that. And then say, hey, yeah, that's on me, you know, let your, you know, so supervisor know and say, I need to leave a little earlier, school started, but it's no life is, you know, you can't, like, no job is worth, you know, risking, you know, someone's life.
Absolutely. And that was talking about trying to, you know, get up in the morning just a little earlier, you know, and kind of change that up. It's taken about a week, but I'm getting used to it. You know, it did help that the wife started a new job. So I got through that in there as well. But now one thing that we don't talk about a lot, but we really should, and I'm glad that you brought this to my attention, Sheriff, and that's sports season. That's another issue that I haven't touched on. When we have sporting activities, traffic changes. There's a lot more kids out and about. Usually they're at a complex or at one of the schools, but life still happens around those facilities. So before and after hours as well, because they're meeting in the mornings and the evenings, aren't they?
Yeah. So you, not only do you have like practices going on before and after school, so whether you have teenage drivers that are driving there, you know, having to get up again, teenagers, right? They like to sleep in, so they get up and they have morning practice. So now they're rushing, they're getting there, or parents getting kids to and from practices. And then the after school activities, you know, everybody's going different directions. Kids are walking, you have cross country teams are running the side streets, you know, county roads, things like that, football, soccer. I mean, you name it's going on. And then you have, you know, the rec programs, YMCA programs are all going on with soccer. You know, the Blacktooth Park is a wonderful facility. But I would remind folks on the Blacktooth specifically, you know, when you're going up West Fifth Street, you know, out towards Soldier Creek Road, there is no parking on the north side of that road. If you look the fog line, there's no parking. You're parking out in the driving lane. And so this is something we've been putting up signs and even digital signs, no parking. Please park on the south side. There's room for that, or go into the parking lot. You may have to walk a little bit further, but again, you don't want to be parking in the driving lane and your kids are getting out, running across the road to get that way. But that gets very congested during soccer season. And so just a reminder, as soccer kicks off, you know, this fall for YMCA and other, you know, fall sports that are going on there. And cross country is another one. They hold cross country events there at Blacktooth. Is that please, please, no parking on the north side of West Fifth Street up there. And there's signs up there. And, you know, we try to get up there and stop folks from parking up there before it happens, because you get one or two cars that park that side, then it's just a domino effect and there you go. But
Sheriff, I'll admit, I'm one of those lemmings, my friend. Yeah, well, he's parked there. Yep, I can park behind him. I mean, I'm one of those guys that if I see somebody park there first, well, I'm not the first, so I'm going to go ahead and follow in. But no parking up there. This is a safety issue.
Yep, on that north side.
Okay. Now, switching gears on, is there anything else you would like to point out about school safety, about situations like what happened yesterday, or parking, activities, sports, anything like that before I move on?
No, I just, you know, take this all into account. It's every year, it's the same thing, right, when we're talking about that. And you know, if you have new drivers, you know, teenage drivers, talk to them about, you know, being safe and, you know, not being distracted. Now, that's a huge thing. We didn't talk a lot about that, is, you know, get off your phones, get off those types of things. Don't be distracted. Lots more traffic, lots more kids moving around. But overall, just have a safe and fun school year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and for all the parents who are having to wake up teenagers right now, I'm going to tell you, one day, believe it or not, one day you will miss it. You know, when you don't have to go in, turn the light on and grab a toe and shake it or something. You know, it. One day you will be. I know it's a hassle now. I know. My little bug, boy, nothing she loved more than sleep. She was a bear getting her out of there. All right, now we've actually had a lot of fires in some other Wyoming counties recently. Our thoughts are with our friends down there. Even though fall is just around the corner, how at risk is Sheridan County right now for fire, Sheriff?
We're certainly at risk. I mean, we've seen lightning storms come through, especially the eastern part of the county. You know, I think the Claremont Fire District, they're doing a great job out there, but they're busy. You know, you get mm-hmm. some of these thunderstorms rolling in and they're getting smaller fires that are popping off, but they're getting to them quick and they're extinguishing them and mitigating those. And hats off to all of our county firefighters that are doing that. We're seeing things dry out, you know, quick. I mean, probably a month ago or so, folks were saying, gosh, you know, this looks like we're in May or June because we're really green, had a wet, but you just get some of that, you know, things are drying out. So we just have to be cautious. We have to use common sense. And I think the fires that we had in our county last year during this time of year should still be fresh in everyone's mind and knowing that we want to prevent those. And so we just have to be safe.
Absolutely. And I actually had that written right here. The Elk, Remington fires, the house draw, or house, all still very fresh for many individuals. People still reeling. I think there's even still fences going up. What lessons from those events have kind of guided the way that you think about fire now? You were hands-on. You were out there for how long? I mean, you were sleeping there. You were out there for a while, sure.
Yeah, no, all of our staff, I think all of our first responders were there. I mean, we had folks working 20, 30 days straight, you know, during those. But when you look at back of what we've done, you know, prepared-wise, I think what we took away is just the amount of effort that it took, but how everybody came together and worked together is vitally important. Collaborating, you know, making sure that, you know, we're all on the same page, not duplicating efforts, but making sure that we have a clear and concise message, you know, going out to the public of understanding what's going on. Being transparent is huge, and mm-hmm. in communication with everybody within that's being affected by any type of incident, whether it's a, you know, a weather event or an emergency like a fire or anything, and just being, you know, having that clear communication is so important. But overall, you know, when we look at, you know, the Elk fire in particular, you know, at its, you know, peak, almost 1,000 firefighters, you know, personnel on that fire, 3,000 structures were in some sort of evacuation, you know, whether they were in ready, set, or go. I think at one we had like 500, I don't have the notes, but like 500 structures in a go, you know, in an evacuation area at its peak, and no serious injuries or fatalities. Two, you know, primary residents lost. That's a success. And that's, you know, at all the organizations together, you know, ensuring that's all that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, because it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still very appreciative of everybody who sacrificed so much to get out there. And my heart is with everyone who happened to have lost anything. You know what? We're going to talk a little bit more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at eFirstFederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Boating season is underway, and safety should be on all watercraft users' minds. Are your life jackets up to date? Are there enough to fit everyone on board, and do they still fit? Before you head to the lake this summer, do a quick check-through of all your safety gear, fire extinguisher, air horn, throwable device, lights, so on, and update or fix them. A fun summer on the water starts with being safe first. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, a compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. At Sheridan Funeral Home, we respect all faiths, creeds, and customs. We take great pride in our compassionate professional service. We promise to take care of you and your loved ones with respect and dignity, just as if we were taking care of our own. It is a privilege to be able to serve you when you need us. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade. At 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides. Perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be. Horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
Big news, Radio Ink Magazine has named our own general manager, Bob Grammons, to the list of the top managers in radio for 2025. Bob has dedicated more than 40 years to the radio profession, including 19 years leading Sheridan Media with growth, innovation, and commitment to serving our community. Congratulations, Bob, and thank you for making Sheridan Media a trusted voice in our community every day.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse on this beautiful gray morning. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with our Sheridan County Sheriff, Levi Dominguez, and our Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, before the break, we were speaking about lessons and things that we've learned from the Remington, the Elk fires. Ready, set, go. You brought that up in the last part, Sheriff. This is credited as a very successful implementation, I guess you could call it, of like a warning system. Could you explain to folks, kind of refresh our memory, sir, what is ready, set, go? What does each stage mean? That way, if anything does happen, we're ready to respond.
Yeah, I think this went really well last year during the Elk Fire, and it was something that, you know, I think the Forest Service was you know, starting to adopt. And as we were preparing for all this in the early part of the you know, with the fires going on, they had asked, is this something we would want to implement here in Sheridan County? And we were like, absolutely. It's simple. It's easy. You know, it's clear. It's concise. And that's what we want. We want less confusion. And overall, what I heard from residents who have lived here, you know, their, you know, entire lives and going through different things like that and few evacuation, you know, scenarios throughout the years is that this seemed to be the work the best, you know. As confusing. And it's become quite the model throughout the state. I think a lot of counties are starting to adopt that and use that and things. And so it's working well. But basically it's, you know, you have three stages within this ready, set, go model, and you can think of ready as being green, and that's you're being prepared. Everybody should almost be in this ready set, even when there isn't anything. And that's just, you know, you want to have a practice plan. You want to have something in place. You want to know if something is happening, whether it's a fire, other event, flooding, or things, that you have a plan and you're prepared. You know, and so that's that ready set. You know, and so depending on what we saw throughout the Elk Fire, there was areas that, hey, you need to be ready. You need to start thinking about what to do next. If you get into that next, that yellow, that set, right? And that's being alert and that's preparing to evacuate. Now we're talking about, you know, gathering up everything you need that you want, that you're ready to take, whether it's, you know, emergency kits for you and your family, you know, getting what are you going to do if we get to that go status, right? And so you're having that put together And, you know, for the elderly or medically, you know, folks that have medical conditions that need to leave early, that's a time to leave because, you know, you don't want, you know, you don't want to be trying to evacuate and that go when, and then yeah. you're taking a little bit less time. That's more time.
That's a great little recommendation right there, Sheriff. And I just want to touch on that real fast. Individuals who have mobility problems, seniors who may kind of be up there and, you know, a little long in the tooth, go at
the set. Yeah.
Don't wait till go. Have a place that you can call home for a little while, whether that be with a neighbor, family member. And if the sheriff were to, or any other organization were to put out set, all right, it's my time to go.
Yeah. Okay. At that set, you know, for the elderly, for mobility issues, for, you know, folks that are, have some sort of challenge, that's the time to leave. And when you're in that set, you know, again, that's the great opportunity to review your plans with you and your family, get everything packed, ready to go. Stay close to your home at that time. So that way, if you have things and belongings that you want to go, that you're ready to go and get that. And then, you know, that last is that go. And that's where, you know, that's to evacuate. We want folks to leave that area. So you're acting early. You're taking all the close possessions that you need, you know, your pets, those types of things, what you can. And if you were prepared and started that in the set, it's really quick and easy. You just load up and you're gone. I mean, it was amazing to see, you know, on some of those nights in the Elk Fire, we were putting folks in the set and driving around and seeing everybody. And granted, they had a front row view of seeing what this fire could do, and they know. But, I mean, you would go to families, and they were in the set. They were loading up, you know, their cargo trailers. They were getting things ready to go, and some were leaving at that time because they're like, hey, we're not going to deal with it and those types of things. So it was great to see from that aspect of what we saw. But yeah, when you hit that go status, that red, then that's, you know, immediately, you know, you're evacuating now. And again, we're not going to drag people out of their homes, you know, and that's the key. And that when we let the public know that, you know, I mean, we're not going to, if you want to stay at your home, that's fine. But knowing that we're not going to risk first responders' lives coming to get you when you decided to stay and we gave you ample time to leave.
Yeah.
And then now you're calling 911 saying, fire's all around me, come and help me. We're not going to risk first responders' lives for that. And so when I say you're on your own, you're, you know, once we feel it's safe to come in. And so those are the things that we made really clear to public during those public meetings is this is your time. And then again, first responders are human and we want to save lives. And so when that call comes in, you know, then all of a sudden, or you decide to stay in a go status area, if you know, that area has been put in a go status and you decide to stay, now all that focus and energy of the first responders is being taken off of trying to fight the fire or take care of the event, and they're focused on you because life safety is always key, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, weighing that is...
Did you have anyone say, you know what, Sheriff, I'm waiting it out. I'm not moving.
Yeah, we did. You know, did. We had folks, and then we had folks come back, you know, to the area, you know, during that time, and it's their property, it's their home, right? And
yeah.
I completely understand, but again, that takes the focus off of the mission of trying to mitigate the situation, and now they're focused on your safety.
Yeah.
And so when they're focused on your safety, they're losing, you know, of what's really important, that is trying to save your home or trying to save, you know, the property around you and stopping that fire.
I mean, I could understand that too, you know, that drive to get back to the house, check on things, make sure that everything is the way that I left it. But at the same time, you know, I and maybe this is the fact that I used to wear a uniform, but I don't want to interrupt the process that we've got in place to fight this fire. So I would have to just sit there and twiddle my thumbs and kind of chain myself to a pole somewhere to make sure that I don't go anywhere, because I know I would have that drive. But again, I wouldn't risk anybody else's life just for me. Now, Sheridan County is moving from a code red to a new alert system. Sheriff, I've had code red on my phone for I don't know how many years. Are they still in business? I mean, what's the logic behind that?
As far as them being still in business, I'm unsure.
They are. Mm. They're in business. It's just we went to a different platform because it's more user-friendly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We switched to a new platform because it's more user-friendly. It includes additional alerts. So this new system includes, obviously, public safety alerts, severe weather warnings, and community notifications.
Oh, wow.
Those multiple ways in which you can sign up. You can go to SharonCounty.myfreealerts.com. You can also text Sheridan Alerts to the number 38276, or you can also download My Alerts app, which is what I did. We just want everyone to know to keep in mind that we can still send out emergency messaging through IPAWS, which is the Integrated Public Alert Warning System, that goes essentially in a geographical area depending on if there's any one of the three issues, like a public safety alert, it will still go through. You don't need the emergency messaging, just goes out regardless. So if you don't have the app, it will hit cell phone towers, radios, even if folks aren't signed up for it. So they'll still get that alert.
So they'll get a text or something else in place.
Yeah, we used IPAWS for the Elk Fire, you know, when we knew that we needed to. So anytime, you know, we used it for go statuses and set statuses in highly populated areas, right? So our deputies and law enforcement, if it was kind of in areas that were not as densely populated, we were trying to get out and door to door and talk to, you know, all the residents and folks that lived in that area of, hey, you're in a set status, now you're in a go status. But when you get into some areas that, you know, you're up in the red grade area, up in the face of that, those types of areas, it became very difficult to, in a timely manner, get to those. So we utilized IPAWS. And so you can, you know, dispatch or emergency management can basically draw a geofence around the area. So we could geofence the area that we wanted. And then you sit that alert out that you are now in a, you know, this area with the description of that area is in a go status or in a set status. And then we followed up with law enforcement after and tried to still, hey, yep, you're in a set, that message. And it worked really well. When we did it on the red grade side, we were all down in the high school parking lot getting ready. That messaging went out early in the morning. And then as you were driving up, as soon as you hit that area, like I think it was like the Hidden Valley Ranch area was part of the geofence. I mean, as soon as we crossed that, all of our cell phones were going off. Wow. And then they would keep going off. And then as soon as we came out of that area, they would stop. And so it's no different than, you know, you've got a dog, you know, an area they want to keep in the geofence. But like it's going off. It worked really well. We had some glitches early on, you know, in the Dayton area. I think we did the geofencing kind of, you know, and some folks in Sheridan got it, but we got it, you know, toned down. I mean, we hadn't used IPAWS like that before, and from all that I can remember. So, but it worked really well.
One thing that I would just add and recommend for folks, you know, there's a lot of cell phones in the house. Usually by the time your kids, I guess it depends. But by the time my daughter was 14, had her own phone. So we had conversations about, look, if you get emergency alerts on your phone, you need to check with the rest of the family and make sure that we all understand that. That holding that thing in your hand is also a responsibility. If you get an emergency alert on there, you need to come find dad, call mom, figure out what's going on, and let the rest of the family know there's an alert. Did everybody else get this? And I really would suggest sitting down talking to your kids about that, just in case they're on their phone, you're out in the shop, whatever, you know. When an emergency alert comes in, there's a lot of cell phones that it's going to be pinging, and sit down as a family and have those discussions.
No, that's great, great consideration for that. And one thing I do want to mention between My Alerts and IPAWS is to know that, you know, IPAWS is for that, it's that life safety, right? So we're using that for, we need folks to get out because of these, you know, reasons like the Elk Fire and things like that. So I don't want folks to think like, it's good. Like, we're not going to be sending out, hey, there's a thunderstorm, you know, coming in the area that may cause some flooding and those types of things. We're not using IPAWS for that. That's what the My Alerts app is for. And so when folks are like, well, I didn't know that there was potential for flooding, that's what My Alerts is. We got to be really careful of how we use those systems, because we don't want individuals to just zone them out, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're sending, you know, weather alerts under IPAWS, you know, and everybody's getting, they're like, I don't want that, you know what I mean? And so you can disable some of those types of things on your phones, which is what we don't want. in Code Red, like there's some different things with my alerts that you can do, you know, and people, what they can do where Code Red, you couldn't do that, you know, Code Red, it was just all one. You would still do a geofence thing and it would blast out what you want, but people had to sign up. Now, folks, you can sign up with my alerts and you can pick like, yeah, I want weather event notifications. Yeah, I want more public safety notifications. I want, so you could check what you do and don't want. So more user friendly and some of those types of things. So you can kind of get, you know, you can, I'll take it all, right? Yeah. Or maybe you're like, yeah, I'm done getting the weather, you know, warnings and things like that. So you can uncheck that. And so again, it's just overall, I think it'll be better used throughout the county. So we're just really asking folks to sign up for that.
And I'll make sure to get those phone numbers and those contacts up today so folks can jump on there and get this information. I do have to take another quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Owning a home can be a little complicated and sound like a lot of work. What do you think, Jill?
That's true, Colton, but those things that we work hard for are often worth it. Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we know that being a homeowner isn't easy.
And this is Colton Bates. We also know that there's a great level of pride, freedom, and control you have as a homeowner.
Whether it's having the best lawn in the neighborhood or knowing that you're creating equity in your home, there are so many positives to owning.
It's a great feeling to care for something of your own, so let us help make the new home process as smooth as possible. Call 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Get long-lasting color with Pittsburgh's Grand Distinction Exterior Paint and Primer in one. It's highly dirt resistant and provides a mildew resistant coating. Say big on Grand Distinction Paint, the perfect combination of strength and beauty. Visit us in store. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Do you have a giant mess you need cleaned up? Did you just build a house or building and can't tackle the amount of unforeseen sheetrock dust? Call our team at Captain Clean and let our experts take over. From post-construction cleanups to sewer backups, there is rarely a mess too big for us to tackle. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Don't just mow, dominate with a bad boy mower from Hando Service Center. Keeping Sheridan rolling and mowing since back when ice was the hottest thing around. We sell and service bad boy mowers and 4x4 side-by-sides built to work hard and last long. Factory-trained techs, honest service, and parts on hand to keep you running. So when the grass fights back, fight dirty with a bad boy mower from Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Mossholder's store-wide Labor Day sale has begun. Every purchase is being discounted, so you can order in a customized sectional or buy your favorite sofa right off the showroom floor. Receive savings on mattresses, recliners, end tables and desks, sofas, lamps, dining sets and rugs. Whether you're preparing for a new school year, guests for the holidays, or just want to update your space, now's the perfect time to refresh your home with help from Mossholder's. Mossholder's store-wide Labor Day sale is going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Folks, my alerts and IPAWS. So I'm going to write a story on that for you. We're going to get that up. Make sure that you get on there. Sign up for these alerts, folks. May save your life. All right, moving on down the line, Sheriff, we got a lot of different things to talk about, but there is something that I want to make sure that we kind of make ensure that we touch on in this program, and that is things that could be happening up at the high school, things like that. You know what I'm talking about. Now we'll talk about the school bus issue, because that one I'm passionate about. But passing school bus really drive me insane. But let's talk about the scam that's going around, that's putting even our children at risk.
Yeah, you know, this is a scam that we see, and it's unfortunate, and it's kind of the exploitation of our teens in our community, and it's happening all, you know, throughout the world. You know, anybody that's got technology in their hands, and we just have to be vigilant with it. We have to, you know, have those hard conversations with our children, you know, as early as, you know, even in the elementary, you know, as they're getting, you know, the iPads and the tablets and phones and things like that, and all the different, you know, apps and platforms that they use, that these kids are being pressured and peer pressured from all different directions. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, they may think that they're talking to one of their friends, or, you know, and you have, you know, folks out there that are, you know, targeting these kids and knowing that they're vulnerable, and, you know, they're monsters. They'll course them into, potentially sending, you know, photos, inappropriate photos, you know, to them, thinking that it's a friend. And then as soon as those individuals get in, you know, these are adults, or, you know, other individuals from out of country, out of state, then they turn around and say, I've got you. You need to send me money. You need to send, you know, otherwise I'm going to send this to your friends, your parents, and all those. And so these kids become really, you know, scared, and let them know that they can come and talk to you about that. That's the keys. And for parents, you have to be nosy. We've talked about this all the time, right? You have to be nosy with their technology. You have to get in there and see what they're doing, and knowing that, hey, we're going to, but you know, when I give presentations and stuff, I said, don't send, you know, to kids and stuff, don't send anything to anybody that you wouldn't want your mom or grandmother to see. Right. I mean, so if you are uncomfortable sending even a text message, and you would go, man, my mom or my grandmother would be very disappointed in me, you know, for sending this, then don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, Sheriff, you know, those tough conversations. One thing, you're not betraying your child's trust by keeping them safe. We have to keep that in our minds. You are not betraying their trust by keeping them safe. Now, you go through those conversations. Go through that phone. We had a standing rule at the house. If I put my hand out and I said, give me the phone, that's what she did. And you know, the thing, I had an advantage of my current wife was a little more tech savvy. So she's kind of the one who'd go through and look at this kind of stuff. You know, she did the phone checks. You're not betraying their trust by keeping them safe. And I can't impart that on parents enough. Have those tough conversations, as the sheriff has suggested, because it's keeping them safe. Sit them down, let them know. These blackmailers, these individuals, we don't even know where they are in the world. And they could be anybody, posing as anyone. We put so much out on social media nowadays, they barely even really have to do very much. They target on the vulnerable, and our children are vulnerable. When teens fall victim to this kind of blackmail, Sheriff, what's the first step that a family can do? So my teen was brave enough to come to me and say, Dad, they basically have these photos of me. They're talking about releasing them. What do I do? What do I do as a father from there?
I think first and foremost, obviously you want to be there for your child, but a big thing is shutting down that social media account. When you do that, you know, we've seen it happen across various social media platforms, but shut down the account. And also you can go through and contact the social media provider, let them know about the blackmail scam and everything else, in the hopes that they can shut down the blackmailer's account as well, and keep those images or videos from getting disseminated, because the unfortunate reality is once this stuff's been shared, it's out there, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully they can lock it down, but there's no guarantees with that. We do appreciate them also contacting us, and we can make a case, but in a lot of the situations we've investigated, it has been outside our jurisdiction, and from what we've seen, a lot of times it's out of the country.
Yeah. And we'll do everything we can, you know, we'll take it to where we have a dead end, but a lot of times we'll loop in our, you know, the state ICAC team, the Internet Crimes Against Children team through DCI, and visit with them about those, because depending on, you know, some of these accounts, you know, or these individuals that are, you know, targeting these children, they may be on the radar of other jurisdictions, right? And so we know that. And so there's already being a case made on them, or being a case built against them, you know, so that way there could be successful prosecution. So very important to come and talk to law enforcement about it, report that so we can do that. And then we can, you know, the channels, whether it's through our state ICAC team or through, you know, Homeland Security ICAC team or other federal law enforcement agencies that have more resources that we can throw at this to try to help this. But again, stop communicating with that particular person right away. Don't give them money. Don't, you know, because you give them a little bit, they're going to ask for more money and more money, but just stop communicating, you know, and just come to law enforcement. But it all starts with the conversations with you and your children at the beginning, to know that if you ever get in this situation, I'm not going to be upset with you, but you need to tell us right away. That way we can take care of it, right?
Yeah.
And so I always, you know, we talk with these individuals that come, and we just say, you did the right thing, right? You know, you're not the only one that this has happened to, you know, and been coerced into doing something like this. But thank you for coming and talking to us, and then we'll help, you know, to wear this. But yeah, it's devastating. It's scary for the kids, because they think of, like, you know, and yeah, I mean, are there consequences? Sure. It's certainly a learning lesson, right? But it's one that we need to know about it. And again, but those hard conversations with your kids of saying, you got to come and talk to us. Like, we'll deal with the consequences later of, you know, some of that stuff getting sent or if whatever it is, but it's not near as, like, the most important thing is keeping you safe,
yes,
getting to local law enforcement, letting whatever app or the platform it is, knowing that that's happening so it can get stopped right away. You don't want to continue to, you know, be a part of that communication, or, you know, being, you know, in communication with that bad actor.
And I need you on my team, Sheriff, because my biggest fear is the unknown. I don't know who this individual is that's blackmailing my child, and they could be a county over, they could be a town over, or they could be out of country. I don't know, and I don't know how much they know. And so now it's the concern of my child's safety is the only thing on my mind if I was put in that situation, because there's just too many dang unknowns, and I need other eyes out there working with me, because that's what my biggest concern would be. Who are they? Where are they at? And what do they know about us and our family already? So please, folks, keep that in mind. You know, go to the sheriff. Go to the PD. Yes, there's going to be embarrassment. There's going to be shame. But, you know, safety's got to come first. I'm running out of time with you, Sheriff. I did say that we were going to touch on this one more time. You know what? Not one more time. I'll probably touch on this the entire time they allow me to sit behind this microphone, and that is passing school buses. I just, my tolerancy for individuals doing this is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. We talk about this every year. It still happens. And I think the thing that a lot of listeners don't realize is how often this happens. And it's too often.
Yeah, it happens quite frequently, which is surprising with the lights and everything that the bus has. I think good train of thought for the motorists is, you know, school's in session. You can expect to see the bus stopping and making routine stops. It's going to happen before school and after school. If you see the red lights on, you stop. A big thing with some of the motorists is the fact that if they think it's a four-lane road, that they're good to go, and that's not the case. So even on a four-lane road, a great example might be in front of Sheridan College. You still have to stop on both sides, both lanes of travel, and wait for the bus to go back in motion. It is a hefty $450 fine. You're not going to get away with this. The buses all have sophisticated cameras now. So anytime that there is a vehicle that passes a school bus, that the school district's going to in turn contact the appropriate jurisdiction for like law enforcement to investigate, and you're going to likely get a citation for it. So just be cautious, be careful. I mean, in addition to the stop school buses, you have all those kids that are right by the road waiting for that school bus to stop as well.
Absolutely. I don't know why people continue to do this, Sheriff. Impatience, I suppose.
Yeah, and knowing, I can't speak for other law enforcement agencies, but I'm sure they share the same sentiment that the sheriff's office, we have a zero tolerance for this.
Yep.
And so, you know, like Lieutenant Sanders said, there's cameras on those buses. We get that information. You're going to get a citation because that's just, you cannot risk those, everybody on that bus and the motoring public around by doing that. That again, you're being late or whatever is not near as important as the safety of those children. So we have a zero tolerance for that.
Tell me about Pint Night real quick, Undersheriff.
Okay. We want to remind everyone to support a great cause. We have the Sheridan Area Search and Rescue Pint Night fundraiser tonight. It's at Blacktooth Brewery from 5 to 7 p.m. They have a lot of extra things going on. They have an epic raffle prizes. 307 Barbecue Food Truck will be there. And they have live music going on. So if you have the time, please make it.
Stop on by there, folks. Fantastic cause. Have a good time with the buddies. I mean, it's Thursday night. Isn't this the night that all the guys and girls head out anyway? You know, it's time to go out with your guys, with your girls. And what a fantastic cause to support while you're having a great time. Sheriff, Undersheriff, thank you both so much for coming in. It is always a pleasure having you guys on.
It's yeah, thanks for having us, Floyd.
Thank you.
You guys be safe out there, too. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
It's lights, camera, action for the 8th Annual YO Film Fest presented by the Standish Family Fund. It all kicks off on Thursday, October 2nd with feature documentary Remaining Native. The Friday night feature is World Without Cows, a film that tells the importance of cattle to Wyoming's people and environment. New this year, bring the kids for Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m., a family-friendly block of animated short films with a colorful mix of styles for kids and adults. Pajamas encouraged. Enjoy a cereal bar, breakfast treats, coffee, and Bloody Marys for the grown-ups. Then at 10:30, it's Wake Up with Wyoming, short films made in Wyoming by Wyoming filmmakers or inspired by life in this beautiful state. See the complete lineup and get individual tickets or buy a festival pass, good for the whole weekend. The 8th Annual YO Film Fest, October 2nd through October 5th. Get your tickets now at yofilmfest.org.
Dude, Rootstock is coming to Landon's Greenhouse.
Rootstock? What's that?
Rooted in Wyoming's annual fundraiser. $30 gets you amazing local food from Ola's Market, local beer, and live music from Dave Munsick. Plus, donations are matched by the Standish Family Fund.
Rooted in Wyoming taught my kids soils and worms.
Yeah, so bring your friends and family and items for the food drive. Help connect the community through local food.
Rootstock, Saturday, September 6th, 12 to 3 at Landon's Greenhouse. Get tickets at rootedinwyoming.org.